Well, good morning, everyone, and welcome to Firm Foundation Christian Church. Praise God for this beautiful day He has given us. This morning, I'm going to be continuing in the book of Joshua, starting in chapter 9, verse 20. That will be our scripture verse today. It reads, "This we will do to them. We will let them live, lest wrath be upon us because of the oath which we swore to them." Now in this chapter, we see Joshua not only as a man of honor, but a man of his word. Standing by your word is very important. It's important to be truthful, because if your word is no good, then an oath or a vow will not improve it. In this story, Joshua makes a treaty with the Gibeonites. And the underlying issue that Joshua faced is that this treaty came about through deception. So, does Joshua break his oath or stick by it? In the Bible Concordance, an oath is defined as a solemn and binding promise. Oaths or vows are sacred and not to be taken loosely or for granted. Taking an oath invokes God by one's loyalty. It binds one's word and becomes a guarantee to be truthful. We see people take solemn oaths as they get confirmed into new job positions, such as doctors, lawyers, military, and yes, the office of President of the United States. Many of us have taken vows of our own towards our spouses in marriage, which is a divine institution between man and woman established by God. Some of you may have taken an oath in court. Raise your right hand and swore to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help me God. So we can relate to taking an oath or a vow and what it means. Let's not take these things for granted, because they are sacred. And Joshua, he doesn't do that. So rather than reading the whole chapter, I will summarize the story of Joshua. So beginning in verse 1, we see the southern kings, which consisted of the Hittites, the Amorites, the Canaanites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, and the Jebusites. Their strategy was to join forces and become one and go to war to defeat Joshua and the Israelite army. However, a group of people from the city of Gibeon, which was part of the Hivite region, wanted peace and to survive another way. The Gibeonites understood how powerful the Israelite army was, considering the defeat of Jericho and Ai. So their thinking was, if we can't beat them, let's join them. Now in that time, they also wanted to make a treaty with them too. Now in that time, laws and principles governed warfare. And Moses gives an explanation of them, and it's found in Deuteronomy 20, verses 10 and 11. It reads, "When you go near a city to fight against it, then proclaim an offer of peace to it. It shall be that if they accept your offer of peace and open to you, then all the people who are found in it shall be placed under tribute to you and serve you." That sounds great for the Gibeonites. Just surrender. However, the Gibeonites are part of the Hivite region. This law won't work for the Gibeonites. It doesn't apply to them, because cities within Canaan were under the judgment of total destruction. This is also found in Deuteronomy 20, verses 16 through 18. It reads, "But of the cities of these people, which the Lord your God gives you as an inheritance, you shall let nothing that breathes remain alive, but you shall utterly destroy them, the Hittite and the Amorite and the Canaanite and the Perizzite and the Hivite and the Jebusite, just as the Lord your God has commanded you. If we continue reading, here's the explanation why. Lest they teach you to do according to all their abominations, which they have done for their gods, and you sin against the Lord your God. Now remember, this is a holy war for the promised land, and nothing should remain in the land that will corrupt the faith of Israel. So the only way the Gibeonites could establish a treaty with Israel was through deception. They worked craftily and went and pretended to be ambassadors. And they took old sacks on their donkeys, old wineskins torn and mended, old and patched sandals on their feet, and old garments on themselves, and all the bread of their provision was dry and moldy. And they went to Joshua, to the camp of Gilgal, and said to him and to the men of Israel, "We have come from a far country. Now therefore, make a covenant with us." So they presented the illusion that they traveled from a very far country, and everything that they had become worn out, dry, moldy, because of their so-called long journey that they had. So Joshua, he took them for their word and made a covenant with them. It's found in chapter 9 of Joshua, verses 14 and 15. Then the men of Israel took some of their provisions, but they did not ask counsel of the Lord. So Joshua made peace with them and made a covenant with them to let them live. And the rulers of the congregation swore to them. So Joshua, he made a mistake, and he failed to seek God's counsel. And why is it important to seek God's counsel? Because he knows everything. And sees what we don't see. The heart. 1 Samuel 16:7 reads, "For the Lord does not see as man sees. For man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart." Just like Jesus, who saw right through the Pharisees, and brothers and sisters, he sees right through us as well. Joshua failed to seek God's counsel. So God left it up to Joshua to deal with the consequences of his decision. Just as God does today with us as well. More importantly, God put Joshua up to a test. A test to live up to his oath that he made under God. Because what happened after 3 days' journey? Joshua and the children of Israel arrived upon the city of Gibeon. The Israelites were furious because of the Gibeonites' deception and wanted to attack them. But the children of Israel did not attack them because the rulers of the congregation had sworn to them by the Lord God of Israel. And all the congregation complained against the rulers. Then all the rulers said to the congregation, "We have sworn to them by the Lord God of Israel. Now therefore, we may not touch them. This we will do to them. We will let them live, lest wrath be upon us because of the oath which we swore to them." And the rulers said to them, "Let them live. But let them be woodcutters and water carriers for all the congregation, as the rulers had promised them." So Joshua and the rulers were focused on keeping their part of the oath, and less about what the Gibeonites did. So I have a couple of life applications to apply today. First, our oaths or vows are sacred. They're not to be taken loosely. Second, let your yes be yes and your no be no. First, our vows or oaths are sacred and not to be taken loosely. Joshua and the rulers of the congregation are a perfect example of keeping an oath. They stood by their word. They honored their word. They honored the oath because it again invoked God. They had every reason to back out based upon the deception of the Gibeonites and also because the congregation complained and they wanted justice for being deceived. But Joshua and the rulers honored their part of the oath, their part of the treaty. Numbers 30, verse 2 reads, "If a man makes a vow to the Lord or swears an oath to bind himself by some agreement, he shall not break his word. He shall do according to all that proceeds out of his mouth." So friends, consider your vows. For example, in marriage, do you invest in your marriage? Do you put love and energy into it? Do you put money into it? Maybe going on a little date here and there. Do you do it consistently? Friends, consider how you are honoring your vows towards your significant other, regardless if it is being reciprocated back to you. How are you honoring your vows under God? What if your spouse fails from time to time honoring their vows? Does that mean that you should fail on your part? Do two wrongs make a right? No. The Gibeonites failed on their part of the treaty. But Joshua, he still showed them grace. He did what was good and right, standing by his oath. He could have had them killed for their deception, but he chose to stand by his word. And in return, the submission on the part of the Gibeonites secured their lives. Now, if we continue to apply this to ourselves, praise God for keeping his promises to us, the grace and mercy he continues to give us. How many times have we turned our backs on God? Have you loved the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength? None of us can say we have done this all the time. We are like the Gibeonites, not deceiving God, but deceiving ourselves. And praise God for not turning his back on us. I want to take you to this example of God's love towards the Israelites. You know, people that tested God, they turned away from God. They chose their own way rather than his way. Does that sound familiar? Deuteronomy 7 verses 8 and 9 reads, "But because the Lord loves you, and because he would keep the oath which he swore to your fathers, the Lord has brought you out with a mighty hand and redeemed you from the house of bondage, from the hand of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. Therefore, know that the Lord your God, he is God, the faithful God, who keeps covenant and mercy for 1,000 generations with those who love him and keep his commandments." Friends, we can be secure in the word of God. There is no if, and, or buts. When he makes an oath, a promise, he swears on himself. Hebrews 6:13 reads, "For when God made a promise to Abraham, because he could swear by no one greater, he swore by himself." God is not an Indian giver. He will not go back on his promises. There's a false doctrine out there in the world that unfortunately many believe that one can lose one's salvation. First of all, let me repeat, God does not go back on his promises, especially salvation, because it's based on his son's perfect work, not on yours or my flawed work. If your heart truly trusts in Jesus, the gospel truth, then you are spiritually adopted into the heavenly kingdom. Jesus said in John 6, 39 and 40, "This is the will of the Father who sent me, that of all he has given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up at the last day." Jude 24, "And this is the will of him who sent me, now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceedingly joy." So brothers and sisters, there is no condemnation in Christ. We will stumble and we will mess up in this lifetime. But on judgment day, Jesus will present you faultless through the spotless blood. So when it comes to keeping our vows, despite when problems arise, remain true to your word and promises. Forgive as God forgave you. Love as God loves you. Romans 11:29 reads, "For the gifts and calling of God are irrevocable." So for those who believe in Jesus, that he died on the cross, was buried, and resurrected on the third day, you have been blessed with the gift of salvation, never, ever to be taken away. Second application is, let your yes be yes and your no be no. We frequently hear in the world the use of God's name as a cuss word. This is considered blasphemy in the eyes of God. Also, when a person uses the word God too loosely, it's considered wrong in the eyes of God. James 5:12 reads, "But of all, my brethren, do not swear either by heaven or by earth or with any other oath, but let your yes be yes and your no, no, lest you fall into judgment." A common phrase, "I swear to God," or "I swear on so-and-so's grave," to back up whatever point you try to make to someone, this is considered evil speaking. It's profaning God. It's disrespecting God. We ought to restrain our tongues from this kind of speaking. Again, let your yes be yes and your no be no. There's no need to invoke God into getting to someone to take your word as truth. Jesus states again, "You have heard it, that it is said of to those of old, you shall not swear falsely, but you shall perform your oaths to the Lord. But I say to you, do not swear at all, neither by heaven, for it is God's throne, nor by earth, for it is his footstool, nor by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great King. Nor shall you swear by your head, because you cannot make one hair white or black. But let your yes be yes, and your no, no. For whatever is more than these is from the evil one." There's a quote that states that the tongue has no bones, but it is strong enough to break a heart. So be careful with your words towards one another and towards God. Jesus said, "But I say to you, that for every idle word men may speak, they will give an account of it in the day of judgment. For by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned. The last scripture verse I want to point out is from Ecclesiastes chapter 5, verses 2 through 6. It reads, "Do not be rash with your mouth, and let not your heart utter anything hastily before God. For God is in heaven, and you are on earth. Therefore, let your words be few. For a dream comes through much activity, and a fool's voice is known by his many words. When you make a vow to God, do not delay to pay it. For he has no pleasure in fools. Pay what you have vowed. Better not to vow than to vow and not pay. Do not let your mouth cause your flesh to sin, nor say before the messenger of God that it was in error. Why should God be angry at your excuse and destroy the work of your hands?" So brothers and sisters, oaths and vows are very important. Be careful and think things through, excuse me, before making any. Because they invoke God. Oaths are supposed to be everlasting. Joshua proved to be a great example for keeping an oath. Let his example, better yet, let God's example resonate with you. Amen? Dear Lord Heavenly Father, thank you for your word, the word that lights up our hearts, lights up our way, guides us. Thank you for all things you have done for us, Father. Thank you, Father, for never breaking any of your promises towards us. But the only thing that you break are the chains of bondage that holds us. We are forever thankful. The chains of our sin you have broken through your Son, Jesus. We are truly, truly thankful, Father. Father, help us to consider any oath or vow that we make before you. Help us remain true to it. Give us the strength to fight off any temptations that the devil throws at us, Father. But let us remain heavenly minded. Continue to draw from your word and be led by the Spirit. All this I pray in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Now at this time, offer one another a sign of peace.